301-230-0980, the number right here on the Chris Russell Show. Tapped into the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 4 p.m. Greg Hoffman will take you on your afternoon drive at that point. A lot more to get to, including in this 2 o'clock hour. There have been some power rankings released, and I know how much you all love power rankings. It's via our friends at NFL.com. They put together, and this is always fun, a post-NFL draft way too early is what we're going to preface it with, power ranking. So can't wait to get you the details on that. How many, or where to, rather, do they have the Washington Commanders? If you were listening at the top of the show, you know where a certain team that resides in New York is listed at. Hey, Mac, you want to remind our listening audience where the New York Giants are ranked in the post-draft NFL.com power rankings, if you want to.
Yeah, the team that's number one on everybody's heart. Number okay. One in everybody's head is ranked 30th for some reason.
That's tough, brother. That's tough. I know Chris has probably busted your chops about this, but what the hell is up with your guy Abdul Carter thinking that he deserves to wear LT's number?
Yeah, it's a little lofty, but you want...
Come on.
You want guys to come in with that dog mentality.
I want you to care about winning. Who cares about your jersey number? That was the red flag to me. I said, all his priorities are screwed up. 100%. That's the first thing I thought of. Okay. Is, oh, his mind's not in the right place. You're worried about a jersey number? First and foremost, you know what? I'm gonna chill on Lawrence Taylor. Because there were some things I was going to say about how he, you know, why he had a little bit of an extra jolt at times on the football field.
Hannah! Allegedly.
Hannah! 301-230-0980 is the number. Let's get to T in Landover. Wants to chime in. T, what you got on the new stadium, brother?
Fellas, appreciate the getting on the line.
Yes, sir.
So, we've been talking about RFK Stadium since they left, right?
Right.
My thing is, if we can't get an RFK, if they playing hardball, why not just go somewhere else temporarily and then build a new stadium at Northwest?
So I'm like I continue to say, bro, if that's the way that it ultimately goes, you ain't going to see me bat an eye. I won't cry. But you know how the folks around here are, man. How old are you, T?
I'm 42.
You 42. Okay. So were you old enough? Have you ever been to an RFK game? Were you old enough to, yep, to have memories there?
I went to an RFK game, and I went to Skins games at FedEx, and I went to a Commanders game in Northwest. When I tell you, a game in Northwest with a winning team,
yeah,
they won't even think about RFK anymore. I was at the Bears game.
Okay. Wow.
I was at that Bears game.
What a damn game to go to, T. Sheesh.
The feeling in that stadium, all it takes is for them to win.
Yeah. And we've long said that.
So if Bowser and DC keep playing games and they're trying to get extra money, like somebody coming out the pockets with more money than Harris is, then screw them.
Yeah. I agree with you, T.
People talk about PG, and I live in Landover. People talk about the area like it's the most dangerous place. I was born in D.C.
I'm tired of it, T. I hate the way people do that.
It's no cakewalk.
Yeah.
It's no cakewalk.
Exactly.
So redevelop the area where they have more restaurants and places for people to go once they leave the game.
Well, bro, you know what's supposed to be the destination, right? It's supposed to be is that the Boulevard?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Boulevard is supposed to be the one, bro. Like, the Boulevard is supposed to be what bring people outside.
Yeah, but they made it Metro accessible, and they put the youngins in that area.
Well, so, yeah, you know, I'm about to say. I know what abbreviation you was getting ready to go with. I speak your language, brother, man.
I'm not gonna say that word. I don't say the Y and the N together no more.
Right, I feel that.
I appreciate y'all for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Man.
Appreciate you, man. Enjoy the rest of your day, fam. 301-230-0980 is the number. That was interesting. But you familiar with the area, right, A-Mac?
Yeah.
So last year, I got the chance to hook up with TGI Fridays and do some really cool things there. And being in that area, like that to me seems like if you're going to redevelop something, like you have it right there, you know, right in front of your face there. Put some restaurants there, new restaurants there, not Jasper's. And we know, Lord knows, it gets crazy over at Jasper's.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Longhorn Steakhouse there. There's a Golden Corral. There's just so much you could do with that area. And I agree with T. Said.
There's a Wegmans not far. There's a lot going on,
you know,
development already in that area. I live like, so I'm with T. I live like 10 minutes away from Wendover. So I know that area.
People try to make it seem like, and I think T put it perfectly, people try to make it seem like it's a war zone or something over there. That's far from what it is. I think what you all should understand is people, crime exists everywhere. It's not just in PG County. It's not just in D.C. If they would have built this damn stadium in Virginia, there'd be crime there as well. So that to me is not the issue overall, right? Like that to me is not what people should be concerned about. T hit a smack on the head, man, and this is where I'm at with it. Mayor Bowser and company, y'all got to chill. You can't be greedy, right? And I get it. She has a job to do. It's her responsibility to advocate for the taxpayer of D.C., for the citizens and residents of D.C. by getting them the most advantageous deal possible. I get all of that. But at some point, like T alluded to, and I think Athan mentioned this as well, beggars can't be choosers. Josh Harris sitting here, wallet wide the hell open, saying, rob me, D.C. Hey, take all my money from me. And now we're trying to posture and negotiate for more money when they're already footing, according to these reports, 76% of the bill? God don't like ugly. I'll be straight up with you. And being this greedy in this situation, let's just say, AMAC, that the greed of D.C., like T was alluding to, and that's a hell of a call, by the way, T. Let's just say, like T said, that the greed of the District of Columbia forces this deal to fall through the cracks. Now what? What is your plan B? What is your pivot? That's my frustration with all of this. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. 301-230-0980 is the number. I continue to say it. I think this new current deal that's yet to be voted on is what's best for the people. I genuinely feel that way. This is what is best for the people. And at some point, right, we have to acknowledge the fact that Maryland probably couldn't give you this good of a deal, right? Maryland just can't provide the nostalgia that going back to RFK would provide. And I get it if you're Josh Harris, right? You want to go in D.C. because you saw them season ticket numbers, right? Them season ticket numbers are low for Northwest Stadium. How do you get back that sector of the fan base that feels like they're scorned, right? How do you get that back? You appeal to that audience. You appeal to that group and go, you know what? We're going to go back to RFK. Because some of you all remember going out there with your grandparents or your aunties or your uncles or your mom or your pops, and you remember what it was like being there. I know the past 25 years have reeked of ineptitude, but Big Josh is in town now, and we're going back to RFK. Can you get with me? 301-230-0980. Matthew's in D.C. What's going on, Matthew?
Hey, Linnell. As always, you are bringing the energy and you're bringing great vibes.
Appreciate you, man.
However, on this one, you've kind of got it wrong.
Uh-oh. Talk to me. Talk to me.
Treating you up and then deliver the haymaker. Look, this is exactly how it always happens. The executives make the big deal, right? So the mayor and Josh Harris have nailed out the parameters of the deal. Now the fine points, the little extras, are going to be added through the city council. For example, for Nats Park, we got the baseball academy. That wasn't part of the original deal, but that was added in through the council process.
Right.
That's all this is. So it is going to happen. The deal's going to go through. It's going to go through. And Josh Harris knew this walking in. This is not his first rodeo. He's done this before, and he knows how it works. So this is not going to stop the deal. The council members, Allen and Mendelson, are not saying no. They're saying basically.
Still there, Matt?
To it.
You still there? So we're having some issues with Matthew's phone. So, Matt, we'll throw you back on hold, but let you chime in on the other side of the break. 301-230-0980 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, more of your calls, plus the NFL, NFL.com, released their post-draft power rankings. Where do they have Washington? We'll chew on that next. 0980, the number right here on the Chris Russell Show. I got Craig Hoffman coming your way at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We'll take you on your afternoon drive home. Right now, though, when I get back out to the phones here, we got a couple of different things we're going to chew on. First and foremost, we will wrap up the calls on RFK 2.0. I'm going to tell you how T.I. is, man, at this point. This is where I currently stand with this thing. And it pains me because I love Mayor Bowser, right? I think she's done a lot of good for this area. I really do feel that way. Mayor Bowser lost her rabbit-ass mind. She's out her rabbit-ass mind, is how I feel. And some of the council members, Josh Harris, what have I long said about this stadium? If they're going to have it go back to RFK, then Josh Harris and his 21 limited partners need to put his money where his mouth is. They're choosing to do this. The latest numbers that we have show the Commanders being willing to foot 76% of the bill. It would be the largest private investment in D.C. history. And we've got council members, we've got Mayor Bowser, residents asking for more money? Come on, man. Like I continue to say, beggars can't be choosers. I don't think that this deal finishes on the doorstep, so to speak. I do think there's enough positive momentum for this thing to get done, but we got to have some folks move with some common sense here is the best way that I could put it. Let's go to Les in Largo. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on now? Thanks for taking my call. Look, I'm 61. I grew up in this whole area, so I seen when I was a kid back right there in the RFK. I saw when I was in my 20s, and I saw all three Super Bowls. Grew up in this area, but one thing I will tell everybody, it should go back down, and I live across the street from the stadium now, but it should go back down to D.C., even though my relatives are going to hate that, who live across the street from the stadium. It should, because they're the ones protesting. No, I've been here. They want the quiet life. Any city in the United States is a city for a reason. If you want the quiet life, go out to the suburbs. If you're coming down here, we're the nation's capital. This is where all the jobs, regardless of what the economy says now, this is where all the jobs come. The younger people are coming. They're getting their work. And one thing they have in common, everybody, I don't care what economy you go through, everybody needs recreation. And what they do, they'll find and scrape and save and do whatever dollar to go out to a bar, to go out to a restaurant, to go out to any place. If it comes down there, they should do that. Now, where Marion Bowser made a mistake is when they put the National Stadium down there, the baseball, they should have made them, or you can make Josh say, look, don't build this little baseball park. Any kid can learn how to play baseball anywhere. What you do is use that money to put a hospital over there in Southeast. Because I'm going to tell you, they closed the hospitals down. I remember being sick.
Didn't they just build a new trauma center?
It's not big enough because there's so many people growing and moving in there. I remember getting sick over there by the stadium, and they had to rush me all the way to Georgetown, and then they had to take me from Georgetown Hospital to another hospital. They said because everybody was diverting because they're bringing all these people from Southeast over there because they didn't have enough hospitals. I said, just put a hospital there. Hell, name it Washington, Commander's Hospital, whatever. A hospital is more important than a $90 million teach a kid how to hit a baseball.
Sure, but
that's what's more important.
I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. This was my argument when this stuff first was, being brought to the forefront. But my thing is this, that money's going to be invested one way or another. This is the best way, Les, if you get my analogy, this is the best way to flip your money is how I'm looking at it.
Oh, no, I agree with you 100%. I'm just saying if she's going to work some little deals, I said work the deal, but then at least if you're going to say, well, they're going to put this little baseball park, let them put a hospital instead of the baseball park. Everything else in that little baseball park, you can put more restaurants, you can put more bars. And as far as living out here, they should have done that right here. We thought we were going to invest and they were going to do that here in Landover Mall. If they made all of Landover Mall, that whole area, and they put these restaurants out here, I grew up in this world. I saw where White Flint grew up and I blew up. I said, I'm tired of us having to go, and I'm African-American, I'm tired of us having to drive to Alexandria, drive to Rockville, where all these restaurants and people can go out and just have 5 minutes to get to these great restaurants, but they give us crappy restaurants. Every corner has an Applebee's. Every corner has a Subway. And I'm telling you, people, black people, white people, all will spend money because nobody, all this, I'm eating at home. That's BS. People work hard. They still go out and they want to go out and eat, and they will not pay to help their family out, but they're going to make sure they're going to go to the happy hour at all these little places, young or old. So the money will be there to be made in D.C. It will be made out here in Landover if the developers come out here and decide to go ahead and build these places. Yeah. People will spend the money. This is the nation's capital. We're not in Iowa. Okay.
Right. People want to come
and even
exactly.
New Yorkers move down here and because this is where the jobs are. So they want to build it like New York. We can do that. And think about it. If we build the stadium with a dome down there, mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. When they always say, what great state is the city can the next Olympics be? They never mention Washington, D.C.
Wow. Yep.
And
for sure.
And they always say L.A., but D.C., we can do the Super Bowl here. And when people come here, just think of the business, the revenue, the Uber drivers, everything will be, traffic is already going to be horrendous. We might as well make money and have a good time in our area.
I like the way that you think, Les. I appreciate your call as always. I think you hit it right on the head. It's going to happen anyway. It's sort of my rule of thumb with this. I'll be curious rather to see the next steps of this. As I mentioned, there are some council members that are not on board for this being a reality, talking about RFK 2.0. What I want to get to right now is one of my favorite things to do. The NFL draft wrapped up this past weekend. We now have power rankings via NFL.com, and this is where things get very, very interesting. We started off the show, joining on our guy A-Mac, talking about his New York Giants. They're ranked 30th in NFL.com's post-NFL draft power rankings. Where do they have the Washington Commanders? Coming out of the NFL draft in an offseason in which you acquired Laremy Tunsil, in an offseason in which you acquired Deebo Samuel, NFL.com post-draft has the Washington Commanders as the 6th best team in the National Football League, and they have them ranked as the 3rd best team in the NFC behind Philadelphia and Detroit. Now, I take legitimate issue with Washington being ranked below Detroit. Did we not prove everything we needed to prove in the NFC division round of the postseason? You want to talk about BTA, belt to ass. It was very clear on that Saturday night that Detroit could not hang with Washington. Detroit did not belong in the same arena as Washington. And I know what Lions fans are going to say, oh, the injuries, oh, this, oh, that. Washington did this with a new football team. They were a 4-win team a season ago, or 2 seasons ago. And this past year, they punched their ticket to the conference championship game. I'm supposed to feel like after that, after watching the head-to-head performance between Detroit and Washington, how can anyone feel like Detroit is a better football team? Washington's better at quarterback. I think now with the additions of Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil, they're better at the skill position group on offense. I think defensively is where things get rough. If you want to make a comment about Washington's defense or have something negative to say about the Commanders' defense, you got it. Because I think the main thing folks were looking for this offseason was could they go out and address the edge rusher spot? Could they go out and address the edge rusher spot? They didn't do that. Despite that being the case, I still feel like Washington has taken a step forward this offseason. But according to the folks at NFL.com, post-draft rankings, and I love to bring you all this, according to NFL.com's post-draft rankings, they have the Commanders as the 6th best team in the National Football League. The teams ahead of Washington, Detroit at 5, Buffalo at 4, Kansas City at 3, Baltimore at 2, Philadelphia at 1. What the hell were the folks at NFL.com thinking when they put this power ranking together? I'll give you Philadelphia. That is the team that beat Washington in the NFC Championship, albeit the Commanders were without some significant pieces. Sam Cosmi up front, along your offensive line, and then Deron Payne defensively. But Baltimore, at what point in time are we going to give Washington the proper respect that they deserve? Because I was waiting on this. All season long, I had to listen to people talk about how this group was a fluke and how they were a Cinderella story and a feel-good story. And it feels like everyone is projecting some regression in 2025 from Washington. Not this guy. You ask me right now, on May the 1st, 2025, is Washington better than the Baltimore Ravens? You bet your ass they're better than the Baltimore Ravens because we've got the better quarterback. Number three on this list, the Kansas City Chiefs. Did we not watch Kansas City get completely steamrolled by Philadelphia? They're better than Washington as well? I get they have Patrick Mahomes. That's great. But at some point, the sum of your parts matter as well. Washington right now, to me, yes, is a better football team than the Kansas City Chiefs. If I had to do my own power rankings here, I'd go Philadelphia 1. I would go Buffalo 2. I would go Washington 3. And that's my top 3. That's my top 3. You can laugh at it all you want. I just feel like, what do we have to do as a team to get the proper respect we deserve in the National Football League? I get the way that they won down the stretch was unconventional. Winning at the buzzer, I think it was in the final 5 weeks of the season. That's great. You know what that is? That's motion. That's what we call motion in the National Football League, AMAC. When you have the wherewithal to play your best in the game's most important moments, I don't want to hear anything about being fluke. I don't want to hear anything about luck. Washington Commanders, damn sure better than the sixth best team in the National Football League. The writers over at NFL.com, get it together. 301-230-0980, the number. Right here on the Chris Russell Show. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will keep things on the burgundy and gold. Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network joins us next to give us his thoughts on all five of Washington's 2025 draft class, as well as some of the undrafted free agents they brought in as well. Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network joins us next. .301-230-0980, the number here on the Chris Russell Show. It's the youngest in charge, Lanelle Willingham, sitting in for a guy, Chris Russell. He's back with you tomorrow. I'm with you tomorrow as well, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Infinity Sports Network, so make sure you tap in with your boy there. Right now we go out to the guest hotline for the first time this show, and we get the much-awaited Ryan Fowler, our guy who covers the NFL draft for the Draft Network. Radio insider here for the folks at home, Ryan. I have been efforting to hook up with you for a couple of days now. I appreciate you continuing to be so flexible with those greasy hips of yours, almost like a first-round defensive back, brother.
Lino, absolutely love, man, and always appreciate having me on, big dog.
Yes, indeed. Always love catching up with you. This is your time of year, is where you shine. You're always shining, my friend, but the draft, definitely where, you know, people tap into you for. When it comes to Washington here, five picks for them, they did not trade back and acquire the extra capital. Of the draft choices that Washington had, which one stood out to you the most?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think one thing that I've been trying to just, you know, remind myself throughout this entire process, yeah, Brad and Peterson Company, Lanell, was you added Laremy Tunsil and you added Deebo Samuel as well, you know, with capital in this draft and, right, and next year's draft. So really, you could even say that they added even understudies, if you will, to both those guys and Josh Connerly Jr.
I like that.
And Jalen Lane, yeah, if you will, both guys can do some similar things for you. But I think overall with the five selections, the one that really stands out to me, I love the value that they got in Trey Amos at 61. I didn't think he was going to get out of night one, Lanell. But I cannot say enough good things at 245, grabbing Jacory Kroski-Merritt.
Yeah.
I really can't. This is a kid that's going to enter 2025 with fresh tread on the tires, not playing really all of last year at Arizona with a waiver issue coming over from Mexico State. He took advantage of the pre-draft process down at Hula Bowl, gets a call up to Shrine, is the offensive MVP there. the way in which he can shift inside and outside the tackles and open space as well. He's going to make safeties miss coming downhill if they don't slow their feet down. He's a really fun player to watch. And right now, he's RB5 on this depth chart bottom line. But I don't think he's going to be there when we get to the summer, training camp, preseason. I think he's going to shine. I think he has a shot to earn some touches this year because there's not a guy in this backfield right now, Linnell, that I can look at and say, there's one player that can consistently find his own holes, create his own alleys with the footwork and vision that a guy like your Corey does. So really, my favorite pick in this entire class was their last one, almost at the end of this draft there, 245, with Arizona running back your Corey Kroski Merritt.
Yeah, it felt like, Ryan, as you know, I was engaging with some Washington fans on social media and hosting our draft coverage here. It felt like some folks were getting a little antsy as we got close to the back of the draft, Ryan, because we're like, where's the running back? Where's the running back? Where's the running back? I continue to believe, and I think Ja'Cory is going to be an amazing pro, and I trust their scouting as to why they thought he was a good fit here. I have continued to feel like as this process has come to a close, Ryan, talking about the pre-draft process, I've continued to feel like, you know what? They're higher internally on their running backs and their defensive ends, and I think we are as media members and fans. And I noticed I brought up running back and defensive end. We'll get to the latter here in a second. But Brian Robinson, as we all know, well-documented, struggled down the stretch. There were some injury issues there. There was also that game against Philadelphia where he puts the ball on the carpet a couple of times. It felt like in the stretch run of the season, that decisiveness, Ryan, that we saw B-Rob run with during the early portions of the season, it just wasn't there. I also look back to the struggles that Washington had along their offensive line in pass protection and run blocking down the stretch. The pass protection gets covered up because JD5 is going to get the ball out on time more times than not. But it felt like down the stretch they struggled to create movement in the run game, and it felt like in turn the fan base began to sour on Brian Robinson. Do you think this is a situation where he has a chance to keep the seventh-round draft pick off of his heels? Or do you kind of feel like maybe the ship has sailed for B-Rob?
You know, it's a tough eval with Brian, Linnell, because I do like the skill set that Brian has. I think all of us over the last 2 years since he came in 22 as a day-two pick, so we've seen flashes where he can hand it to number 8, 15, 20 times a game. He can get you 120, 130 on the ground and run through some people's face when it gets to November, December. Mm-hmm. But then times last year where you look at Jaden Daniels and everything is on him and his arm and with his legs. And I think there has to be a guy. Now, I can't sit here right now, Linnell, and say Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt is RB1 and he's going to be that guy that touches the ball 20 times a game. I can't say that right now. But I think you are exactly right in that their internal evaluations that from the pro scouting side, what they have on this roster, they still really like Brian and they still really like what Austin Ekeler can add. And he's not 25, 26, 27 years old anymore. So I think as of now, you know, you're putting your trust in Cliff Kingsbury, you're putting your trust in Adam Peters and trusting in what, how they're evaluating this position. But I will say this, and that's really nice to have Jaden Daniels under center, really take that load off you and really just elevate everybody around you. But at some point in time, you've made additions along the front five to match up with the Phillies, if you will, of the entire NFL, if you want to get to that reset, that top of the totem pole, if you will. But now you got to get a guy in the backfield that can do a little bit for you, too, and say, here's 15 times a game. Get me a first and 10, second and 5, third and 2. I can give it to you back-to-back-to-back times and take that pressure off of Jaden Daniels. So that's kind of where I'm at with this position right now. But I will say this, Linnell, in its entirety, competition never hurts.
Yes.
It never hurts at any level of any sport. And I think adding guys like this, where you still have Jeremy McNichols, Chris Rodriguez that will fight for every snap, adding guys like that and keeping them around will only push guys like Brian Robinson to keep four or five guys consistently in his rearview mirror.
Yeah, it is going to make training camp a hell of a lot more interesting. I've said it all process, and I really feel like, you know, my thoughts were cemented after last weekend, Ryan. This is going to be a much more difficult football team to make in 2025, and I think that is the goal when you're in year number two of a recalibration, a retool, whatever you want to call it. I just continue to feel like Washington and, you know, their front office has put themselves in a really good spot to continue this upward trajectory and make sure, most importantly, Ryan, that last year wasn't just a flash in the pan.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I think even people forget about the additions of guys like Michael Gallup on the outside. You know, this isn't Michael Gallup of 5, 6 years ago. You know, really post-ACL, he has been a complete shell of himself. But again, when you have Jaden Daniels under center and he can elevate everybody around you, you know, Luke McCaffrey, we need more from you right. in year two. I know the underlying analytics and the separation scores and everything like that were there, but we need more. You know, you brought in K.J. Osborne for a reason. He's someone that's had some success in years past, specifically in Minnesota. And then you look on the defensive side of the ball where they've added a bunch of different body types from the Dietrich Wises of the world to Jacob Martin. Those are two varying different body types. And now you add Trey Amos. Hey, Marshawn Lattimore, you know, this is a kid in Trey that may be a top two perimeter corner for us. And if you can't do it and we're going to keep Mikey on the outside, then, yeah, we traded capital for you. And, yes, you've been an all-pro in the past. But if you're not stepping up and making plays, then we're going to find somebody else to do it. So I'm right there with you. You know, you got to continue to – last year was a great foundation. NFC title game in year one was a hell of a just an accomplishment. But now it's what's next. And on either side of the ball, winning within the trenches and then outward – it's going to be harder and harder to make the football team, and that's only going to help it here moving into the final 53 as we establish it in late summer.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, my man. We're joined by Ryan Fowler, who covers the NFL draft for the Draft Network. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at _RyanFowler_. The two most intriguing picks of the five to me, Ryan, were Jalen Lane out of Virginia Tech and then Kane Medrano out of UCLA. I want to talk about Medrano here for a second. Knowing what you know about him pre-draft and the work that you've done and the folks that you've talked to, am I ahead of my skis here, Ryan, when I talk about the possibility of him being in the mix to be that Jeremy Chinn replacement? Does he have the athletic profile and the willingness to tackle, to play that role and that star role in this defense or that Buffalo nickel?
He does. That's what he does best, Linnell. Now, at 222, I will say this. I know I've talked to a couple folks in the pre-draft process, similar to even his teammate, Carson Schlesinger, mm-hmm. and Samuel Ledejo there at UCLA, as far as guys that may earn some more snaps or bulk up a little bit and even get some rush reps. Now, specifically, that's towards Femi. But Kane at 222, he played around 230, 235 this year for the Bruins. He can absolutely fly downhill and knock you out a little bit. And he really reminds me of a guy that came out of Notre Dame last year that went to Dallas on day two, Maris Lufau. There were some concerns with him in coverage. There were concerns with him as far as his one-on-one tackling ability, as far as the consistency. But if you want somebody like Kane now here late on day three, bottom line, I expect him to be a core four special teamer right away. Yeah. But he wants somebody to pin their ears back, fly around at 4.4 speed at 230 pounds and make some tackles for you and be near the football. That's going to be Kane Medrano. So there are concerns with him. I'm not going to throw him in next to Luvu and Wagner in the middle of defense right now.
Right.
But I think he's someone, if you can keep everything in front of you, play a little bit more depth instead of that typical off-ball type of middle linebacker, allow him to use that athleticism and trust his eyes and play from depth. I do like that potential with him because also want to see more from guys like Jordan McGee and Dom Hampton.
Right.
And this is a guy in Kane Medrano that will add competition to those guys as well.
Yeah, there's some rumors around the water cooler, Ryan, that Dom Hampton has put on a considerable amount of weight. I was really interested in him last year when they drafted him out of Washington, former team captain, guy that's a big hitter. The one area that I'm concerned with, Ryan, and we're going to talk about this on the show after we get off the line with you, is safety. I continue to feel like safety is the position group that most desperately needs outside help here in Washington post-draft. If you have a Quan Martin injury, the depth that you have at that position is just not good enough to me. Will Harris has been a spot starter in his career, played pretty well last year in New Orleans, but is not Jeremy Chinn. I look at Percy Butler as a core four, you know, primarily a special teams guy. Tyler Owens, the undrafted kid last year, I believe out of Texas Tech, I think he's got an ability to come in and help, but how do you know what you're going to get from him as he played no snaps last year? And then Jeremy Reeves, who I know you're familiar with, Ryan, I think is the best of those reserves to actually play on the defense. What do you make of Washington's safety position as we kind of expound upon, you know, what Kane Medrano's role could be here in year one?
Yeah, it's a great question, Linnell, and I think it's absolutely a position group that has not been talked about enough as far as a need at the position. I think they need someone that can play downhill more consistently, and I do think they need a guy that they tried to draft in the prior regime with a Percy Butler. I don't know if Percy is a guy that is a part of the future plans. I don't know, but they don't have a guy right now. I do like Quan Martin. I do. I really like Quan. But I don't know if they have a guy right now to say, hey, look, we want to run some cover one, and we want to play you between the numbers and have you roam a little bit. I don't know if they have that guy. And I know you only had five picks, And I like Will Harris's physicality. You mentioned he's a spot starter. I don't know if he's going to play 90% of the snaps and be that guy for you. But looking specifically at this draft class to where the safeties, I thought it was a deep class in my personal evaluation, but the league overall evaluated these guys much lower. I mean, guys like R.J. Mickens from Clemson, Billy Bowman from Oklahoma, even a Hunter Waller from Wisconsin as far as a rangy type of player, all those guys went in that day three type of bucket. And a guy I loved coming out of Penn State and I had a first-round grade on was Kevin Winston that went 82 overall in the third round to the Tennessee Titans. You know, so there was value there if Adam Peters, of course, you know, went to aim a 20 picks earlier. But there were some players in this class, I think, to fill a multitude of roles and try to add talent on that back end to where I completely agree with you as far as there is talent needed there. If your corners on the outside, bottom line, do not live up to expectation this year and the years to follow.
Yeah, it's something that I'm sometimes reluctant to talk about, Ryan, because I don't want to seem like I'm being a Debbie Downer post-draft, but I can't help but look at the safety depth chart and go, woof, is there a guy on this football team that's ready to meet Saquon Barkley in the alley at that safety spot? I don't know if that is the case. And when you got, you know, that second-place schedule that you're going to have to deal with next year, it's going to be very interesting to see how they move on from Jeremy Chinn, who played 94% of the defensive snaps last year for Washington. Real quick here, if you let your gut speak for you here, I guess, Ryan, early lean on whether or not Trey Amos is the starting corner opposite Marshawn Lattimore in week one.
Man, I will say this because I love Mikey Sanders still. I really do. Yeah. I just don't know, Linnell, if I can throw out Mikey and man consistently. I know teams are playing man. They play zone 50-50 a lot basically across the league. Mm-hmm. But you're drafting a guy like that to stop CeeDee Lamb, to stop A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith. And I love Mikey's competitiveness. I love the footwork. I think we all do. But I love Mikey inside. I loved him inside at Michigan. I loved him outside when he was, you know, last year before the injuries on the outside and lack of success considering that. So right now, I would say that Trey comes out of camp at 6'1", 200 pounds with the experience that he has to play off and to play in the contact window as the starting corner opposite. As far as perimeter guys opposite of Marshawn, but I will say this, Linnell, it is really nice, man, to sit here and look at the corners room as far as the upgrade in talent.
Yes.
Because just a few years ago, we had Emmanuel Forbes, William Jackson, Tariq Castro Fields, and we can go on and on as far as the guys that were out there. So, bottom line, there's some more talent. There's some more dogs on the outside. Looking forward to see how they progress here in the summer months.
Ryan, I appreciate you catching up with me as always, my friend. You know I will be ringing the line soon, my brother. We got national radio, all types of things. And I appreciate you giving me some time, brother.
As always, appreciate you, Linnell. We'll talk soon, man.
Yes, sir. That is Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network, one of the absolute best talking all things NFL draft. Didn't get to ask him about Washington's UDFAs. We'll do that in our next trip with our guy, Ryan Fowler. About an hour and change left to go on the program. The Hoffman Show will take you on your afternoon drive home. We'll take a quick time out, pay some bills. When we come back, which position group most desperately needs outside help post-NFL draft? That's next during the Team 980. I do wish. 301-230-0980, the number. Right here on the Chris Russell Show. Youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. Sitting in for a guy, Chris Russell. He'll be back with you tomorrow. Craig Hoffman coming your way at 4 o'clock. He'll take you on your afternoon drive home. A lot more to get to before we get out of here in the final hour. I know all of you have been waiting for me to be back on this station because that caged animal Chris Russell just keeps chastising LeBron James and the LA Lakers. They went out in sad fashion last night. We'll break that down coming up top of the 3 o'clock hour. But right now, though, you can line up on the phones at 301-230-0980 because I do want to take your calls on this. As we sit here post-draft, I almost just electrocuted all of us in here. I just spilled my water on the board. That's terrible. the position group that I think most desperately needs outside help post-draft, and I know the common answer here, is probably going to be defensive end, right? Everyone looked at DN, myself included, so I'm not putting myself above y'all with this. I thought they needed a D-end as well. But when they chose Josh Connolly over Donovan Azaraku and Mike Green, I think it told the story as to where their board was stacked up, how they viewed the importance of tackle, and also how they viewed themselves internally at D-end. So defensive end, to me, would be second on this list in terms of that position group that most desperately needs outside help post-draft. What do you think, though, at 301-230-0980? To me, I hinted at it with Ryan Fowler. It's the safety position. You lost Jeremy Chinn last year, and we're acting like it's no big deal. We're acting like he's just some run-of-the-mill safety that you can go out and replace. Uh-uh. It's not how I feel about the situation at all. Jeremy Chinn played 94% of the defensive snaps last year for Washington, registered over 100 tackles, and we let him walk out of the door like it's nothing. And to me, the frustrating part is, and maybe frustration is the wrong word here, I'm puzzled as to why more folks are not clamoring about this. You brought in Will Harris from the New Orleans Saints. No disrespect to Will Harris. He could end up being a great player. He was a guy that for the majority of his career has been a spot starter. Who's going to be that guy when it's time to knuck if you buck in the hole and it's you versus Saquon Barkley and you got to make a man's decision? Who's that guy for Washington? Doesn't exist right now for me. I don't trust Will Harris to be that guy. Percy Butler, I think, is one of the best special teamers, the best gunner in football. I don't know how I feel about him as a full-time, you know, strong safety. Jeremy Reeves, we know what he is, all-pro Revo, gets it done on special teams. If there was a reserve in Washington's safety room that I had the most confidence in terms of being a full-time defensive starter, that guy to me would very clearly be Jeremy Reeves. If Washington had to start this year with Quan Martin and Jeremy Reeves as their safety tandem, I ain't gonna lie, I wouldn't be too mad at it. But I still understand how significant of a loss Jeremy Chinn was. He took his talents to Las Vegas and is now going to be headhunting with the Raiders. You all remember some of the hits. The big hit he put on against Dallas. The way he dislodged the ball against Atlanta. The way he dislodged the ball against Cincinnati. Jeremy Chinn's problem throughout his career has been health, not talent. Shorty can play. So to act as if you're just going to replace that with Will Harris, no disrespect to my man from New Orleans, but it is what it is. I'm going to tell it how a T.I. is. I'm not confident in what Washington has at safety. Are you? 301-230-0980 is the number. I just don't feel like at this point, if you are a fan out there, if you're concerned about defensive end, how in the hell are you not concerned about the safety spot? Let's go to Lou in D.C. Wants to chime in. What's going on, Lou?
Oh, man, that was quick, man. What's going on, Big L?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm good. Hey, man, I think, I know the defensive end might be a topic, but I think we'd be all right, man. I think they're going to try to go get somebody from the free agent, like I was telling AMAC, you know, Za'Darius Smith and Von Miller, you know, plug in for a year or so and see what they could do. And, draft a DN next season. I think that we'd be all right. As far as the safety goes, I'm going to tell you a gem that we got. Sean Taylor, bro. Gabe Taylor, man. Dude is a beast. He's going to make the team, I'm going to say it right now. He's going to make the team. That's all I got to say, brother.
That is a bold declaration, Lou. I appreciate the call as always. Yeah. I hear day, it, right? There are going to be some folks out there that clamor for Gabe Taylor or the other UDFAs that Washington's brought in. But I will be real here with you. I am just not sure. I am not certain that this is the move that's going to happen here. There are still, if I look at the veteran safety market out there, there are still some very recognizable names. The most recognizable name, I think, is Justin Simmons. And we heard, conversation, surrounding him before. I just don't know, man. I just don't know. And look, I want to make this very clear. My concern about safety is not an indictment on who they have. I get who they have. They have who they have. It kind of is what it is at this point. I just feel like at a certain point in time, right, you got to do your best to improve the room. And there are some safeties out here, actually. Marcus Williams, formerly of Baltimore, available. Justin Simmons, available. Jordan Whitehead, available. Quandre Diggs, available. A guy that's got some familiarity with DQ in this defensive system. Demonte Casey, still there. So I don't know how ultimately they choose to handle this, but y'all tell me if I'm wrong. they need help at the safety spot. How they get it, still to be determined. 301-230-0980 is the number. We'll take your calls on the position group that most desperately needs an upgrade post-draft for the Commanders. That's next here on the Team 980.